Start recording, rather. And now we are actually going to look at the war itself. And it starts with Pasuk Aleph and Perek Yud Chet. David musters, he puts them all in, organizes them, all of his people together. And he puts in captains of thousands and of hundreds, corresponding approximately to colonels and what's under a colonel? Majors, I think, are
lieutenant.
Yeah, major is under a colonel. Yeah, so I mean, I've looked this up. How the those kind of sizes that correspond to U.S. Army. But clearly, he has a lot of people here. When he left Yerushalayim, he had a few hundred of his Plishti allies and his household. By the time 6 months later that this war is starting, he clearly has enough people that he's got Sarei Alafim and Sarei Mayot. Vayishlach David et ha'am ha'shlishit b'yad Yoav, v'shlishit b'yad Abishai ben Shruya, achi Yoav, v'shlishit b'yad Itai ha'giti. And so now David divides his army up into three divisions, one under the control of Yoav, who is his general, Yoav ben Shruya. One of those divisions under Avishai, Yoav's brother, who we looked at before, these two Bnei Tzruya, the violent ones, the ones who are, the one he needs for as enforcers, they're the ones who lead the army. And one third under Iti Hagiti, who we looked at way back when he was on the run. Iti is actually a Plishti. He is from Gat. He is one of David's friends from way back when David was a Plishti general. David told him, you know, you have no part in this battle. You should just go back to Pelesha, go back to the Philistine cities. And he said, Ittai said, no, I'm with you all the way. So now he's got this loyal non-Jewish army as well. And Phyllis says, a parallel to Yaakov dividing his people into three. Well, Yaakov, right? Yaakov divided into two. Yes, I mean, it's parallel in the sense of that explicitly was the preparing for war.
Oh, I thought it was three.
Yaakov divides into two camps.
Oh.
But the same idea, you're preparing for war. There, Yaakov is preparing to run away. Here, he's preparing to attack. But
no, if it wasn't three, it's a silly comment. Ignore.
Pardon me. As sort of a standard thing is that he's playing this out. He's going to basically surround his enemy here. He's got them. And then he says, Vayomar HaMelech El Ha'am. Yetzo etse gamini machem, and the king says, I will go out with you. I am David HaMelech, I am Yotze v'nechnas imam, acharai, as the Israeli leaders would say. David's going to lead them into battle ahead the army, and the people say, no. You're not little kid David, hero of Goliath. You're an old man now. Yomar am lo tetze. And all the people said, no, you can't go out now. And if, even if we retreat, don't pay attention to us. Don't try to help us. If half of us die, don't pay attention to us. Because now you are like 20,000 of us. You are what's important. We don't want you going out to battle. You stay back in Machanayim, in the mountains, behind the walls. Better that you should stay behind and help us and back in the city. This is the first time David is not going out to battle. Well, against his will. He wants to go out, but he's not going to. And this Vayikod David is important because that, as the Rabbag puts it, when he's putting it together, There's a procedure for assembling the army that Torah describes in Ki Tetze. It's by assembling Ahem, Sarei Alephim, Sarei Melot. Rabbag says, Dish yes sidura milchama, open haroi, in order to set the battle up appropriately. Kihu mimashiyesh baroshem nifla, kihu mimashiyesh baroshem nifla bagat hetachlit hamubukash milchama, because that's an, I don't know how you translate that, important result, makes an impression, depending how you organize the army to establish its goals. So it was this kind of pikod ha'am that the the Torah commands that you organize the army and the whole pasuk of the Mashuach Melchama, where the Kohen gets in front of them and says, "Mi ish hayarei should leave." Because anyone who's afraid, who can't fight, who's married, who's just married, built a house, just planted a vineyard, they leave. And that's the story. That's the term the Torah uses, right? But Yeshua Shotrim of the Beryl Am, and the Shotrim, the constables, police, military police, continue to talk to people, the Amru, and they say, anyone who's afraid, tenderhearted, should go back home. It's a volunteer army. Lo yimaset lebav echav kulabo, and he will not cause the hearts of his brethren to melt. Vayak hachalot ha-shotrim le-beral am, and when they're finished all the speeches, upakdu sarei sabaot b'rosh ha-am, and then they have this pikida, and they organize everyone to decide who's still here, who is afraid. So that's the irony here. The pikida is when we send away the people who can't fight. And here it's Da'ifkod David Am, and now he is the one who's being sent back. Because he's 65 years old now, and basically it's like your kid's taking away your car keys. We don't want you out there. It's sad. I mean, he's, you know, that this has been David who's been leading all these battles. That's who he's known. He's the one who's Yad Same with Nahem. Now they're telling him, no, you're not going to help here. Go back. All you're going to do is stay in the city and help. What is Tielotu Meir Lazor? You're going to be back in the city helping. What is David's help back in the city? The answer is he's going to pray. That's all he can do. He can say Tehillim for everybody else. And David's good at that, right? We know that, right? That's what David does, is he said Tehillim. So he'll do that. And we have one parak of Tehillim that's explicitly connected to this battle. That's Tehillim Chaf, where it says, Ele barecha ve'el v'susi, v'anachnu v'shem Hashem el-kinu naskir. Right? That's how we fight. We talk to Hashem. And Rashi over on that, on that parak says, "Habizmar hazeh al shem shalech et Yoav ve'kol Yisrael milchama." This parak was said when David would send Yoav and rest of people to war. Hu omed b'Yerushalayim, and this is what he would say in Yerushalayim, wherever he would be, "Hu mitpalel lahem," and he'd be praying for them. The point where he couldn't go to war. Yishenemra, as it says in our parak, you should stay back in the city. Here he's not Yerushalayim, right? He's been kicked out of Yerushalayim, he's in Machlaim, but the same idea. He's going to stay back. And we've quoted this before. Gemara and Sanhedrin says, if it wasn't for David doing this praying, Yoav could not fight the battle. He's not fighting, he has something to do. So we already looked at that parak way back when, parak Chaf. So I'm going to look at a different parak at Tehillim, which is another prayer of David.
A question about David not being able to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the first time where you see somebody being a retired, let me put it that way, from their job?
When he's too old to, as opposed to, I mean, being retired for being too old, as opposed to like Moshe retires with his death, Shmuel is told, okay, you can't see anymore. When he goes to David, but this is pretty explicit. About the only time it's explicit, it's a little more explicit. Let's see if I can pull this up later on in the parak. Why is it? I'm gonna move this out of the way here. Sorry, yeah. And let's say Shmuel. I think we want 23. No, it's for the previous pack. All right, I'm still looking for it. This is probably an event that happened earlier than this here. This isn't Shmuel Bet Perachav Aleph, but it's one of the appendices to Shmuel Bet. So it's later in the text, but it took place earlier. There was a fight between Plishtim and Israel. And they fought Plishtim, and David was exhausted. Right? That's the first time we see him. He's getting tired. Okay, and he was fought. And this guy tried to fight David. And Abishai helps him. And kills him. Az nishbu anshe David lo. And that point, David's people swore to him. Okay, same kind of thing. He wants to go out to battle. He can't do it anymore. They tell him, you should not go out war against us anymore. And the light of Israel should not be extinguished. Yeah, so David is retired. He has reached mandatory retirement age. So we're going to look at another parak about David davening on behalf of Israel, which I think
is in the Torah.
What, retirement? Oh, for the the VM, right? That's right. They retired age 50.
Oh, I thought that was just to sort of like make way for the new generation or something.
Well, you could look at it that way. That's that they would work in the Mishkan from 30 to 50, and then they're there to help, not the team. Uh-huh. 50 used to be really old for retirement. It's not so old anymore.
Sure, in those days, it probably was.
Well, I don't know. I mean, lifespan was exactly the same then it is now. Just the average was much lower because more people died in childhood. Hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
Once you got to that point, once you made it to adulthood, you would live to 70 or 80. It was on a large part.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at this Perakof Bet. It is called Tefila Ani Ki Atof Lefnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho. This is the prayer of the poor person as he is exhausted, beaten down, and pours forth his prayer to God. This is the whole thing, Tefila Ani Ki Atof. Let's see how he translates that. And with my Sparia. There we go. When he is faint. And like many Prakim Tehillim, it has two parts. It very clearly divides. In the middle, the vault is in Pasuk Yud Gimel. So the first part is the prayer of the poor person and the individual. Tefilati, it's in the first person. And then Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel rather, it switches from a description of his sickness, of how lowly he is, how terrible things are. Vatashem le'olam teshev yizichar kol davar, you God will live forever. And then Atah takum terachem Tzion, it turns to Tzion and makes this a metaphor, makes all the Ani's Yatov, when the Ani becomes faint, is a metaphor for the people of Israel. It becomes clear that the second half of this. So the first half, that he describes himself as poor and starving. We'll look at it inside. And the kotera, the title is a tefillah la'ani. It's a prayer of the poor person. But there's no actual prayer there. It's just a long description of how miserable he is. I'm starving, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm cold. Life is terrible. And then it switches to the second half, which makes it clear that that's a metaphor for the exile of the people. Which is why I connected here, because this is David's experience with exile here. He's out in the middle of nowhere in Machanaim. He's been kicked out of Yerushalayim. And the prayer is then that Hashem should return the people to their land. So, at one level, this is a story for Bnei Israel as a whole, for the exile that we're in now. But at the other level, we've been trying to look at Tehillim as written by David and relevant to David's life. So a story in Shmuel is David's experience in exile and hunger. We saw that all these other people had to bring him food because he really was starving. So tefila lani ki atof. So in modern Hebrew, and Mishnaic Hebrew, atof means to wrap, and wrap, envelop. Brachan talis is itatef batalit. But in Tanakh, it always means to bend over or to collapse. And we saw that in Parshat Vayetze, so 2 weeks ago, Yaakov is doing his sheep breeding things, and it says, "Batifatzon lo yasim," that with the atuf sheep, he didn't put the sticks in front of them, so they didn't breed. So he knew he would only breed the healthy sheep, the atif, the faint or weak sheep. He didn't breed them. Vayatufim lelavan. So all the sheep that were atuf belong to Lavan, Bakashurim, and the strong ones, the well put together ones, belong to Yaakov. And then Feivel Meltzer, who we quoted before, about he's one of the Masada Rav Kook editors for Tehillim, says this is such a great word, and he's sorry that we've lost it in modern Hebrew. Kashe Efolavin, it's then hard to understand. Maduaga Ram Mazlo Shel Pol Chazak Zeh. Why was the fate of this poor, this wonderful, powerful word here? Was the fate was such that's found and not a few times in Tanakh, no longer lives in our language, hamodernit, our modern language. Much ain mishtam shimbo, and nobody ever uses that. Atuf. The mesha ap in your dim pirusho, and that nobody knows it. I feel anashim hanechshavim b'derek klal yodei ivrit. From the Hebrew, still don't use the word atuf. We don't know. So
that's what? The poor word, like poor la'ani.
Yes, the poor, right. So the word atuf has become atuf.
Because we got too much English in Hebrew now.
Ah, so in modern Hebrew it would be indigent or poor.
I don't know, but I'm just saying in general.
Yeah. So the Bible Meltzer misses that word, wants us to be using it more. But to continue on, the parak. Hashem shemat filati, God listen to my prayer, v'shevati elecha tavo, and may my plea come before you. Al taster panecha mimeni, biyom tzar, panecha mimeni biyom tzar li, do not hide your face from me when things are bad, when I'm in trouble. Atayel ez lecha, biyom ekra, maher aneni. Listen to me, when I call you, quickly answer me. Right, here's my prayer. And that's the way Meltzer puts it. Yechelak harishon, yecholit baresh ka'allegoria b'inyan hagalut. We're going to read this first part as an allegory, a metaphor for galut. I'm not talking literally about how he's starving, and we'll look at that. I'm sick.
He's complaining about the Hebrew, but he says it's an allegoria.
Ah, that is ironic. That I like that. That is a good point. Right. There's no way to avoid that.
You couldn't say it's a mashal.
You're right. That is exactly right. You're exactly right. There's a see that you never complain because you're immediately going to be guilty of it, right? If you ever find fault in somebody else, you're pointing at yourself. That's very ironic. I didn't even notice that.
That's how we lose words in Hebrew because we.
That's exactly right. Right. He's using allegoria there. It's certainly true. It's certainly true that even though the tzara of galut is a general of the people as a whole, tzara lumit, a national trouble, going on galut, the yishpocha misharer, the poet pours out nesharer, yishpocha nafsho, he pours out his soul, olafi bitui shel pichoneinu, yishpoch sicho. That's the language here. It's, where are we here? The actual line was, pours it out. But putting it as a personal pain, not as a national one at this point. It hurt. David hurts to be in exile. The way he personally feels about the trouble of the people of the whole. So we're looking at all in the way the individual looks at his pain. Even though it's general. So we're going in every... The nation is made up of individuals. That's what he's looking at his trouble over here. It's just it's just brutal. His poverty, his starvation, his loneliness. The rest of it is first half of the parak.
That's why he's able to write these beautiful psalms, because he feels these things personally.
Yes. I guess that's what it takes to be a poet.
Yeah.
I don't have a poetic bone in my body. I'm not. But yes, but
I think you're doing pretty good, man.
I'm just reading Tehillim here, but right. I mean, so he could feel it as in personally, and then use the words to express it so that you feel it personally as well. I mean, that's the idea of poetry. That's Whitman's comment about the strong emotion recollected in tranquility. They're trying to reconstruct the feeling. Right? Ki chaluk ba'ashan yamai. Let's read it with the kudot. And here. Ki chaluk ba'ashan yamai. My days have ended in smoke. They vanished in smoke. Basmatai kmo ked nacharu. And my bones are burned like in a fireplace. Ukaka isev vivashli bi. My heart is struck and withered away like grass. Yishachachti me'echol lachmi. I've forgotten how to eat. Gotten so miserable. I don't feel like eating. It's a sign of depression. It's just, I can't eat anything anymore. I'm just wasting away because I can't eat. Yikol anchati davka atzmil of sari. From the sound of my moaning, my bones are stuck to my flesh. Dimiti lekatmidbar. I am like, so he's going to use a bunch of birds here. These are all not kosher birds are listed in Parchet Shmini, and it looks like Shafari is going to give us translations of them, but they could be. Dimiti lekatmidbar. I am like the kaat, some kind of bird in the wilderness. Aitik kos charvot. I am like a kos, which he's translating both of those as owls. Could be. Charapot, like a coast in the ruins. Shakarati veya, I wake up early and I am. We'll see what eya doesn't necessarily mean I am here, but sort of tzipor, like a bird, bodera lagag, like a lonely bird on the roof. No flock around me. Kol yom charpuni oivai, all day my enemies mock me. Molai kinishbao. Those who make fun of me, swear at me. Efer kalecha machalti. I mean bread like dust. Or other way around. I am eating, efer is ashes, sorry. I mean ashes like bread. Shikubai bebechi masachti. And my lashakot is to drink. So what my drinks are mixed with my crying, with my tears. Kind of way we use that directly on Tisha B'Av, right? Eating the ashes. Nice. I don't know if anyone's hear about people Hasidim actually collecting tears and drinking that as well from this pasuk as well. That's a little too, taking it a little bit too literally. Nezamecha b'kitzvecha, because of you, Hashem, you declare this, your anger and your wrath. Kina satani vasireni, you picked me up and thrown me away. That's the galut side of it. Yamai katsel natoy, my days, length natsel natoy, I like lengthening shadow. I like that. My days are lengthening shadow. It's nighttime is coming. It's all going to be over. Vanika esebi vash, and I will wither away like the grass. That's part one.
How does that word natoy work?
Leaning.
Leaning?
Tilting.
Oh,
and tilting. Right. Yeah. The shadows are tilting as the, you know, the image of that, as the day ends. My days are like the lengthening shadow. So I'm going to look back at the Shakarati Veya. So at Nachta under Eya, I will be. Shakat l'shkot is to be up early, and I will be. And so our scroll translates that as, I persevere, but I remain. Shakat me, I continue on, but yet, and I simply am. So Rabbi Meltzer says, but Jacob says, no, that yeah doesn't mean in this case to be, but it's from the he, which is a sign of pain. Quote Cheskel, I froze a tal of anai, and I spread my, it was, I had this vision of a scroll spread before me, k'tuvah panim v'achor, is written on both sides, tuvala kinim v'hege v'hi. And there are keynote written on it, and hege, meditations v'hi, and moaning, crying. So that connects it with the previous psukim, right? Demiti l'kat midbar, I'm like this bird in the wilderness, kos achar avot, again, calling an owl, that haunting sound in the wilderness, and I am up and I am crying out like that lonely bird. And that's the way the Radak puts it. Imiti, I am like these birds here. In the metaphor, Hakati Kik, Hakat is a kik. I don't know what that is either. Hu Of Midbar, it's a bird, that's a wild bird. Mikolo Kol Nehi, and it cries out in a moan, or a cry. I am like this, we're calling out all along. It flies and stays in ruined, abandoned places. Kokol Nahi, part of the same thing. But I'm not tweeting happily. Not a happy songbird here. It's a mournful song. Then he continued. They switch his themes here. Okay, that's how terrible things are. I'm all alone. I'm starving. My flesh is stuck to my bones. I can't even remember the last time I've eaten. I'm eating ashes. Then he switches. You, God, you exist forever. They will remember you forever. And you will arise and have mercy on Zion. All right, now he's waiting. This is not about me. This is about people as a whole. He ate lachana, not it is time to have grace. It is now time. You need to save us. And this is where it becomes a tefillah. Radak puts it, Bata Hashem, you God, kol echav de galut, asher katru yamav, nohem al kitzru yamav. For every individual, again, we're saying this, the suffering of the people is the suffering of each individual, one crying out about how how miserable their lives are. Maybe if I can live a little longer, I will see eventual redemption. And this is true in every generation. Everyone always says this. And he says about you, even though my days are out of lengthening shadow, you got this forever. You exist forever. And you will show the redemption. Eventually, this will happen. That's the faith. And why is it Eight Moed? Why is it time for the Geula to happen, for them to be redeemed from the exile? Because they want it. That's the way he puts it. Next passage. Yiratzu avdecha at avaneha. Because your servants wanted its stones. They were yearning for the stones of Israel. That afaraha ha'ichanenu, and they loved its dust. Yirugoyim et Shem Hashem, and then the nations will see the manifestation, the name of God. V'chol malchei aretz et chvadecha. The kings will see the glory. Ki bana Hashem Tzion. When Hashem builds Tzion, we rebuild it. Nireh v'chvado will be present in all its glory. Again, ki ratzu avadecha t'avaneha. As Rashi says, avu afet avaneha v'tafreh. They love even its stones and its dirt here. This gets very Tzioni here. The Gula will happen because we love Eretz Yisrael. And Gemara Megillah mentions this. When it asks, where is the Shekhinah? Bavel hechash Hashkina. Where is the Shekhinah present in Babel, in exile? Rabbi, Rabbi Knishta de Hutzal, in the synagogues that were saved. Rabbi Knishta de Shaf Biyativ, and the synagogue that was destroyed and established, but Naharda, it was established in Naharda, city of Babel. The Rashi says what that was. Shaf Biyativ, Ubanai Yechanya. Yechaniah was the king of Israel who was exiled 11 years before the final Korban, and they had the community all moved out to Babel at that point, and says that Yechaniah took the stones of one of the Batei Knesset and took it with him to Babel. And it was built by Yechaniah and his people, me'avanim va'afar, from the stones and dirt, that they brought with them, came Hashem Emar, fulfilling what was said, ki ratzu avadecha davaneha v'tafereha yichanana. They love the stones of Eretz Yisrael so much. And it's very noble. And similarly, well-known Gemara in Ketuvot, Avah menashek kifi de'ako. Rav Abba, when he was abroad, when he came back to the port at Akko, he would kiss the dirt. Rav Hananya mitaken kamekatle. Rav Hananya would spend his time fixing all the potholes so that people could get there early. Rav Chia ben Gamda mit mig nader b'afra. Rav Chia would roll in the dust when he came in there. The Emrah says, they love the very dirt, just being in Eretz Yisrael. So we're all going to move to Eretz Yisrael because we love it so much. And even the shuls that we have here should be built out of Yerushalayim. My brother Charlie's shul did that, that the wall is Jerusalem stone. At the Mizrach wall there, they imported that.
Where is your brother?
In White Plains.
Oh, okay.
We should have a refuah shlema for the rabbi who's still, after months, intubated with COVID.
Right.
Alter Shmuel ben Chavaleya. Sorry, there's a chut there. But ideally, obviously, you don't bring the stones into Galut. We bring the shul back to Eretz Yisrael. But that's the Eid L'chana Nakiva Mo'ed. This is the time now, Ki Ratzo Havana. And that's David saying that. That's the way we're going to go back because we want to. We kept the hope up, Zichar Kol Dovah Dar, from one generation to the next. And then he continues on, Pana El Tfilat Ha'ararer. And this is past tense, as though this will have already happened. Hashem has turned to the prayer of the Aroer of the destroyed one. My Aroer from the language from that other Galut Perek from Anaropa Vale. Hashem Lebnei Edom Yom Yerushalayim. Remember, against the children of Edom, the day of Yerushalayim, Ha'omrim, when they were said, Uru, Uru, destroy it, Ad Yesod Ba. Here's the opposite of Uru, Uru. This is you're listening to those who were destroyed. Will be za et tzilatam and didn't spurn their prayer. And what we're going to do with that when Hashem save us, the answer is we're going to write new tehillim, happy tehillim, right? Shiramel b'shuv Hashem et shivat tzion. Yu kacholmin. Tov zo, continued in this parak. Tov zo ador acharon. Write this for the next generation. Am nivra yahalelka. That the created nation, and they translate it as, very basically, the reborn nation will praise Hashem. They are newly created. Hashem looked out from the heavens. Hashem Shemayim Aris Ebit looked down from the skies. The Shmoa Ankat Asir. Listen to the prayer of the one who's in prison. Tach B'nei Tumuta to release, to open up for those of who are Tumuta, yes, dying. Translates that. There we go. Condemned to death. So we have been released. Why? Saper b'tzion shem Hashem. So we can say, sing in Sion, declare the name of Hashem. That fulfills the previous part of the pasuk over here. That Yuru Agoyim Hashem Hashem, why are they going to see the name of God? Because that's what we're going to do. We go back to Eretz Yisrael, we'll write our new Sefer Tehillim. Tehillah Tov Yerushalayim, literally. We will say the Tehillim in Yerushalayim, Gabetz Amim Yachdav, when the people will come together, Mam Malchut, Lavet Hashem, that's what we're looking for, that everyone will come to Israel to serve Hashem. And that Tichtov, Zot Ador Achron, you'll write this. Ezra puts it, Zora posuk la'ot, izot derech nevuah. But this really was written as a nevuah prophecy. It's written as a tefillah, but he's saying it definitely will happen. This is no question this will happen. L'chad ha'masharim, for one of the, whoever wrote this, Parak Tehillim. Tam am nivra, then yev, a created nation. Yet nivra b'shuv Hashem et shivat Tzion. But we will be recreated when we return to Tzion. And that's what the idea that the end of the parak is, Mikabetz Amim Yachdav, all the nations will come together serving Hashem, as we said in Yeshaya, they all come together, all the nations will come together, The Beit HaMikdash should be a Beit Tefillah for everyone, a place for all the nations to come together. That's the same vision of the future.
Danny, yeah. I went on a tour a few years ago in Pesach time to look at the gates to Har Habayit.
Uh-huh.
Not to the old city, but actually how to get up to Har Habayit.
Right, like Robinson's Arch and...
There's like 8 or 9 different gates, only a few of which I knew about. Anyway, of course, it's all in, you know, the Muslim section of the old city, or let's say most of it is. So I felt very uncomfortable. But the little guy who was leading the tour was one of these, you know, frummies with the long payas. And he worked for this, like, the Third Temple organization.
Oh, okay.
And he was saying, like, in order for, you know, we have to be like David if we want to build the Beit HaMikdash anew. We have to want it more, as much as David wanted it.
Right. And that's what this parak is all about. That God will end. He ruts over now when you want it. That's part of the requirements there. It's very, very tiony. And then he goes back to the beginning and talks about his poverty and exile. That Hashem has, let's see, I'm going to translate here. That Hashem has made me poor along the way. My strength. That Hashem has made weakened my strength, impoverished my strength along the way. This path I've gone on, it's weakened me. My days are short. That's a dying thing. So Omar, Kaili, Al Taleni, Bechatzi Yamai. So I pray that Hashem don't abandon me in half my days. Let me live my full lifespan. Let me, and so that I can live to the point of seeing the Geula. Bedor Darim Shinataha, you whose years span generation to generation. Hashem, Lom Teshev, you exist forever. There will be a generation of Geula. Let me live there. Lefanima Arz Yasadata, Maseyadecha Shamayim. You establish the earth. You create the heavens. Hema Yovedu, even they will be lost, but Tata Mo, and you will still exist. Hashem is eternal. That's good. Kulam Ka Bega Yibolu, they will wear out like a garment. Kulbush Tachlichem, Biyachlofu, you can change them like clothing. Into the Kabbalistic idea that multiple creations going on, multiple worlds created and multiple worlds created and destroyed. But right now, I'm just here. I'm just human. My life is going to end. All I want is to get back to Eretz Yisrael. Batahu, Ushnitechel, Yutamu, you are. And you will never end. But the bottom line is, B'nei Avedecha Yishkonu, the children of your servant. Even if I don't make it, my children will certainly dwell there. And endure in your presence. Translates it here that even if my life is limited, but still my children will see this. It eventually will happen. Ending on a hopeful note.
So. Like this fits for Al Naharot Bavel, but David is in Israel. What does that mean? He's going to return to Zion? I mean,
he's not. He's in Machanayim, which isn't really. He's in exile.
Oh.
I'm reading this as being, this is David in exile. He's been 6 months outside of Eretz Israel proper.
Oh.
Right? He doesn't run from his son. He's not there. He's looking back at it. So I'm saying you can read it both ways, both as a national galut and a personal galut as well. So David certainly has experienced galut.
But was there a national galut?
In David's time? No.
Right. So
it was him and his entourage, right?
Right. I mean, yeah, clearly there are people with him at that point.
Right.
So I would, you know, again, from David's point of view, this is personal. You know, him and his immediate his wives and his children who aren't Avshalom and all of those who are looking to get back. And this is saying that we all are loving his land, and but it applies to the people as a whole as well. Again, all of them, you can read as both about David and as about the nation all together. And you can simply read it as being you can certainly read it as a later tila that was said during the time after the first Korban. And that's a legitimate way of reading that. We've emphasized that. And that's kind of Ibn Ezra when he says, when he calls it Lachad HaMishorim. Derech Nevuah Lachad HaMishorim, right? He's not going to say that everything was written by David. It doesn't say the David in the front of it. It was written. But I am going to be, I've said that, that's kind of my goal, is kind of read this in David's life as well. In this incident here. And I will stop here and continue.
Danny, I want to tell you, I looked up the words we talked about on Friday. The one about a bicycle and Ofna fashion.
Uh-huh.
You're right, and I was also right.
Oh, good.
The way it was spelled was Ofane, like Ofnea Kruvim, the bicycle or the wheels of the
wheels, right?
Kruvim. But Ofna is spelled almost the exact same, except Ofnaim has Aleph Vav Pei Nun Yud, and Ofna doesn't have a Vav, it just has Aleph Pei Nun Pei.
Okay, but
they're both very close words.
You look at the etymology of Ofna meaning fashion.
That's what I don't know.
Because in Tanakh, the two words Ofan means both the base and a wheel. I don't know if those are necessarily connected, but I'm not sure which one goes with fashion.
I think that one goes with Ofan. I think is a wheel, according to the Alkali Dictionary.
Fashion goes in cycles.
What?
Fashion goes in cycles. I don't know.
There was something about fashion is so ugly they have to change it every 6 months.
So I was discussing that with my kids about, you know, that I would, it's okay to spend a couple hundred dollars on a coat because you're going to wear it for 20 years. And they looked at me like I was made out of, you know, I was from another planet. Yeah, so from my point of view, fashion is a fun, a base.
Interesting.
Right? I've had the same coat. You're looking at old pictures. Like, I've never, you've worn that coat my entire life. But yeah, that's the goal, right?
Susie.
And as opposed to women's fashion, like, we need new shoes because you need new shoes.
It's definitely a cycle, because I can tell you my daughter now buys things that look like ugly things I wore when I was a teenager and sells them for a lot of money.
Yes.
Should have saved it.
Okay, that's the O-fine out of this as a cycle of fashion. Anyway.
Could we go back for a minute to
yes.
The Shakadati here? So. So. I think the Etnachta is misplaced, like it's a mistake, a scribal error or
okay.
something.
I mean,
even if it's not, let's say it's not.
Right.
I don't like the art scroll saying, but I survived, as if it's something good. Because here it reads to me like I get up and I'm just blah. I just exist.
Yeah, so that goes
that's
with
I
the
I read it that way.
You see the Safari translation. It's a katebe, yeah, you know, I'm up, but I just am. Like I lie awake idea. So that's closer to where you're saying it.
Yeah, but
the other translation. Can you go to the other translation? I thought it actually captured exactly what Phyllis is saying.
Yeah, but it said, but I survived.
Yeah.
Right, but I thought survive was a negative almost. The way
yeah. I persevere, but I remain. No, that definitely, Ashko's definitely reading as a positive.
Oh.
Despite the fact that Shakadati, you know, that's right. Ashko definitely is reading that as more positive, yeah. which I agree doesn't fit.
No.
So the AI as moaning fits in the context, but it's not used that way anywhere else in Tanakh. So I think so. Your way thing is way as far as translating it, AI meaning I just am.
But they lose a lot by just saying I lie awake. I mean,
okay.
That loses. I wake up, and there's nothing there.
Just,
you know, wake up.
Okay. Yeah.
But basically,
and I wake up early, right? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't fall back asleep, and there's no point in. I'm just
right.
Just because it's there. I think you're right. That's very much the sense here. I like the yeah in the morning, but you can read it both ways. But right. I would go with your translation on that.
But basically, I think the etnachta's a mistake.
It should be shakati kama ve'yeketi por boden. It would be like the right. Okay.
And all the others.
Like, now,
damiti ve'yeke, you know.
Okay, damiti. Okay, ve'yeketi por. Okay, you can.
Where's the
other?
Yeah.
That's the
vava. Yeah. Right. And I was. Yeah, I mean, it's poetic. The tense varies between what we consider past, present, or future. It's ongoing. It's not an actual thing that happened. He wasn't actually a bird.
Anyway, I don't like any of the translations.
Okay, well, I'm happy with your translation of I awake and I just am.
Okay.
The scribal misadventure question about the ta'amim. You know, since the Tamim as written are much later than the text itself, I mean, that's all, you know, from the Mishnaic times. So I think you have fewer unintentional changes there. You could read it that way. And I will stop recording. Thank you.